Hello, everybody, and welcome to Conspiracy 101 here on the Universal Podcast. This is a conspiracy that says I can't talk. Universal Podcast Network. I'm Bob Lament, and I've got Dr. Daniel Lucas here with me. He's taking a few moments away from the hospital to come here and talk about our conspiracy for the night. How are you doing, Daniel?
Yes. I'm fabulous, Mr. Bob. Thank you for being part on conspiracy.
I think you're in the middle of like some kidney surgery or something. You said, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to come over here and talk to Bob about something weird in the world.
Weird.
And so yes. Here we are. Can you believe it?
I believe it. If you say so, because you're my co-host. Let's 100% support you every now and then.
Every now and then, he says. Not every time. Every now and then. All right, Daniel. Guess what our topic is going to be tonight? You have any ideas? You want to take a guess?
Let me guess. Because I think we've done
lots. Is there something you want to hear that I'm not going to provide tonight?
I think we will talk about the mystery of the universe.
How about the Bermuda Triangle?
The mystery of the ocean.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Bermuda Triangle at all?
I think I'm working in the ship. We're just near. I think, yes, we just passed the Bermuda Triangle.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you would have, because you have been on large ships before. Apparently you did not die.
Experience, yeah, no. Yeah, I think we diverge from another route because you cannot cross between the Bermuda itself because there's a lot of speculation that you will sink in the middle. Sink.
That's right, because of the Bermuda Triangle where the ocean swallows its secrets.
My gosh. Interesting.
All right, so let's talk about the Bermuda Triangle, which to me, as a kid, was fascinating. I read books on the Bermuda Triangle. I was going to solve the Bermuda Triangle, which I did not. But it always has been one of those things that I've been incredibly fascinated by, because ships go missing, planes disappear, weird stuff is happening in a triangular area that runs from Bermuda to Florida and someplace else. I can't remember where the third point is, but we'll learn about it and back to Bermuda. So, all right. So let's begin at the beginning, shall we, with a place that technically doesn't exist. The Bermuda Triangle is just ocean. You've heard the name. You might've felt a little chill when you said it as a kid, but here's the first jaw-dropping fact of the day. The United States government does not officially recognize the Bermuda Triangle.
Why not?
But again, they don't officially recognize a lot of things. So
It
appears on no federal maps. It has no legal boundary. A cartographer would look at you blankly if you asked them to draw it. And yet the world cannot stop talking about it.
True.
We're looking at a rough triangle, draw a line from Miami, Florida, up to the island of Bermuda, and then down to Puerto Rico. There's the other place. And back to Miami. That gives you somewhere between 440,000 and 500,000 square miles of deep Atlantic Ocean. Within that space, or somewhere close to it, depending on who's telling the story, ships have gone silent, planes have dropped off the radar, and crews have simply ceased to exist. What makes this especially fascinating is that this is not some remote, uncharted wilderness. It is one of the busiest maritime and aviation corridors on the planet.
Yes.
Thousands of vessels cross it every year without incidents. So why does the legend persist? That's exactly what we're going to find out. Let's find out, shall we?
Yes.
One single human being responsible for the Bermuda Triangle becoming a household name, it's Charles Berlitz. That's his picture right there.
Charles.
Oh. In 1974, he published a book simply called The Bermuda Triangle, and it exploded. I probably read that book. 20 million copies sold, 30 languages. It was one of the best-selling nonfiction books of the entire decade. Berlitz was a remarkable figure, the grandson of a man who founded the Berlitz language schools. He reportedly spoke 32 languages himself. Polyglot of extraordinary ability, and yet for all of his linguistic genius, his most famous work was picked apart by researchers almost immediately. Investigators found that the incidents he described had been misattributed, exaggerated, or in some cases entirely invented. Ships he claimed vanished had actually arrived safely at port. Dates didn't match. Weather conditions were omitted when they explained a disappearance perfectly. Lawrence David Cush, a librarian and pilot, published a meticulous rebuttal in 1975 called The Bermuda Triangle Mystery Solved, methodically dismantling Berlitz's claims one by one. And yet, and this is what was so fascinating, nobody cared. The legend was already loose in the world, and the book had already captured imaginations from Tokyo to Toronto. Charles Berlitz didn't discover the Bermuda Triangle. He invented the version of it that we all carry in our heads. And in doing that, he created one of the most durable mysteries of the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it?
I believe it 100%.
There's a picture of the book right there. See it? The Bermuda Triangle. I read that book in grade school, I think. December 5th, 1945, World War II has just ended. The skies over Florida are full of military aircraft running training exercises. Routine stuff, kind of thing that crews had done dozens of times. Flight 19 is a squadron of five TBF Avenger torpedo bombers, 14 men, experienced pilots and crew, not rookies. Their mission, fly east, drop some practice bombs, and then come back. 2 hours, maybe three. It's simple. They take off at 2:10 in the afternoon from Naval Air Station in Fort Lauderdale. And then things start going wrong. Radio operators begin receiving increasingly confused transmissions. The flight leader, Lieutenant Charles Taylor, reports that his compasses are malfunctioning. He says, and this quote has echoed through history, "We cannot find west. Everything is wrong. The ocean doesn't look as it should. The planes fly in the wrong direction. They burn fuel they can't afford to burn. By evening, the transmission became broken and faint, then silenced." The Navy launches a rescue mission immediately, including a large Mariner flying boat with 13-man crew. The plane also disappears. By the time the search is called off, 14 men from Flight 19 and 13 men from the rescue aircraft are gone. No confirmation wreckage from any of the six planes that were ever recovered. The Navy's official conclusion, cause unknown. Flight 19 became the foundation stone of the entire Bermuda Triangle mythology, and it remains the most haunting disappearance in American aviation history.
Mm-hmm.
So before Flight 19, before Charles Berlitz, before the phrase Bermuda Triangle even existed, there was the USS Cyclops. And if Flight 19 is the most haunting aviation disappearance in American history, then the Cyclops is almost certainly the most haunting maritime. March 1918, the United States is fully embroiled in World War I. The Cyclops is a massive Navy collier, a fuel and cargo ship, 542 feet long, carrying 309 men and a belly full of manganese ore, steaming from Barbados towards Baltimore. She never arrives. No distress call, no wreckage, no lifeboats, no bodies, not a single plank of wood. 109 souls gone so completely that the sea left no receipt. The investigation that followed was extraordinary in its frustration. The ship's captain, German-born officer George Worley, had been acting strangely. He wandered the deck in his underwear. He had a documented history of erratic behavior. Some investigators suspected sabotage. Germany was the enemy, after all, and the ore she carried was strategically valuable. Others suspected structural failure. A sister ship, the U.S. Proteus, later also vanished in suspicious circumstances. President Woodrow Wilson, when asked about the Cyclops, reportedly said, "Only God and the sea know what happened to the great ship." More than a century later, that remains the most accurate summary we have. The Cyclops is still officially listed, its cause of loss, as unknown. So every legend needs a name, and the name Bermuda Triangle, three words that have generated billions of dollars in books, films, documentaries, and merchandise, came from one man in one article in one magazine in 1964. The man was Vincent Gaddis, He was not a scientist or a naval officer or an explorer. He was a freelance journalist with a passion for the unexplained. He wrote for pulp magazines, the kind that lined the racks at drugstores and bus stations and airports. And in February 1964 issue of Argosy, a popular men's adventure magazine, he published a piece called The Deadly Bermuda Triangle. He drew together the stories of Flight 19, the USS Cyclops, and several other disappearances, sketched a rough triangle on a map, and gave the whole thing a name that crackled with menace. The article was a sensation. He expanded it into a book chapter the following year, and then Charles Berlitz took the baton and ran with it globally for a decade later. What's remarkable about Gaddis is how thoroughly the history has buried him. If you ask 10 people who named the Bermuda Triangle, probably none of them will say Vincent Gaddis. He is the forgotten godfather of one of the 20th century's great pop culture obsessions. A man who wrote a magazine article and accidentally rewired how millions of people thought about the ocean. There's something poetic about that. A mystery surrounding the very man who invented the mystery. He didn't have a legacy, Daniel.
Yes.
He lost legacy. He lost his legacy. Legacy was definitely lost. Poor guy.
Definitely.
You don't want that to happen. All right. So not everyone was swept up in the Bermuda Triangle fever of the 1970s. Lawrence David Cush looked at Berlitz's bestseller and thought, none of this adds up. Let me go check. Cush was a reference librarian at Arizona State University and a licensed private pilot, a man who understood both the discipline of research and the realities of navigation. And so he did something radical. He went to primary sources. He combed through the newspaper archives from the dates of the alleged disappearances. He contacted the Coast Guard, Lloyd's of London, and the National Weather Service. He read the actual Navy report on Flight 19 rather than Berlitz's summary of it. What he found was devastating to the legend. Ships that Berlitz placed in the triangle had vanished in the Pacific. Some had sunk during documented storms that Berlitz simply didn't talk about. Some had arrived on their destinations and were never reported missing at all. In 1975, he published The Bermuda Triangle Solved, one of the great works of skeptical investigation in popular nonfiction. His conclusion was blunt. The Bermuda Triangle is a manufactured mystery. The number of disappearances in the region is not statistically unusual compared to any other heavily trafficked stretch of ocean. Lloyd's of London, the people who pay out when a ship sinks, do not charge extra premiums for the region. That is the most cold-blooded debunking imaginable. If insurers aren't scared of it, maybe we shouldn't be either. Yeah, they're not gonna pay out insurance money if it's really that bad, right?
Are we crazy paying for that?
That's right. So here's the confession. The Mary Celeste does not belong in Bermuda Triangle presentation. Not really. When the Canadian brigantine De Gracia found her drifting on November 13th, 1872, she was near the Azores, more than 1,000 miles from the triangle. But she became so fused with the legend that to leave her out would feel like an act of historical dishonesty in the other direction. And her story is genuinely extraordinary. The ship was intact, seaworthy. Her cargo of commercial alcohol, 1,701 barrels, was mostly untouched. The crew's belongings were below deck. There was food, there were charts, and there were personal effects. No signs of violence, no blood. The lifeboat was missing, suggesting that the crew had chosen to leave, but why? They were never found. 10 people gone. The investigation that followed produced more theories than answers. A sea quake. Alcohol fumes caused panic, piracy, waterspouts, insurance fraud. None of them satisfied Arthur Conan Doyle. You know who that is? Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
Who is it?
He is the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Exactly.
What's the address of Sherlock Holmes? Is that the address 339 in London?
21B Baker Street.
Yes, 39 Baker Street.
But Sir Arthur Conan Doyle jumped in before Sherlock Holmes made him famous. He wrote a fictionalized version of the story in 1884. And many of the colorful details people know about the Mary Celeste, including the legendary hot food on the stove, actually came from his fiction. The lesson here is important. Our most enduring mysteries are often partly made of stories, and stories, once told, are very hard to untell.
Untell.
Exactly. So let's talk about the science that we actually have has to say. Because the ocean doesn't need the supernatural to be terrifying. It's doing perfectly well on its own. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has looked at this carefully and concluded that the Bermuda Triangle does not have a statistically unusual number of disappearances. When you account for the sheer volume of traffic, thousands of ships and tens of thousands of flights every year, the incidents are consistent with what you'd expect from any equally busy stretch of ocean. But that doesn't make the environment benign. The Gulf Stream is a formidable force, one of the most powerful ocean currents on Earth. It runs directly through the triangle at up to 2.5 meters per second, and it can scatter debris across hundreds of miles in days. Finding wreckage in that current is genuinely hard. Then there are rogue waves. Confirmed by satellite data since the 1990s, these are spontaneous walls of water, sometimes 100 feet tall, that form without warning and can overwhelm ships that were built to handle ordinary storm waves. There's also the methane hydrate theory. Enormous deposits of frozen methane gas on the seafloor that could, under the right conditions, release bubbles violent and large enough to sink a ship by reducing the water's buoyancy. Norwegian researchers demonstrated this in a lab. Combined sudden storms, disoriented magnetic anomalies, dense traffic, and a current that erases evidence, and you have a region that is genuinely dangerous without a mystery required. Can you believe it?
I do believe it, Mr. Bob. It's from scientific organization.
Research. Well, it's from scientific research, exactly. So where does this leave us? In 2025, we have GPS on every phone, AIS responders on every commercial vehicle, other satellites that track every storm cell in real time. The era in which a ship or plane could simply vanish with no last known position is essentially over. And yet, the Bermuda Triangle refuses to die. New books appear every year. Documentaries keep being commissioned. Children still feel a shiver at the name. In the same way children did in 1974 when Berlitz's book hit the shelves. Why? The psychologists have a word for it: confirmation bias. We remember the stories of disappearances. We do not remember the tens of thousands of uneventful crossings that happened the same year. Our brains are pattern-seeking machines, and once we've accepted the pattern, this region is dangerous, mysterious, cursed. We fit every new piece of information into that pattern and discard whatever doesn't fit. The Bermuda Triangle is, in many ways, a perfect mirror held up to human cognition. It shows us how we build myths, how we resist facts and contradict good stories, and how a magazine article by a forgotten freelancer can reshape collective consciousness for generations. Does that mean nothing strange has ever happened there?
No.
The ocean is vast and indifferent and genuinely dangerous, and real people really did disappear. And their families never got answers. That deserves to be taken seriously. But the lesson of the Bermuda Triangle is ultimately not about the ocean. It's about us and our extraordinary, irrepressible need to believe that somewhere out there, the world still holds secrets that reason cannot touch. What do you think, Daniel?
Reason that cannot touch. Oh, it's just only in the mind. It's only in the mind,
people. It certainly is. So the Bermuda Triangle has always been one of those things that's fascinated me, right? So,
yes,
because it is so, for at least for me, it's so close to where we are in the United States, right? It's Florida, Miami, Florida, down to Bermuda, over to Puerto Rico and back. And so that connection is, you know, it's not like being somewhere overseas that I've never been to. I've been to Miami. So, you know. It's close, right?
Yeah, it's close.
It's scary. And I just remember as a kid, that's always been my interpretation of the ocean is Bermuda Triangle. Because it's not, you know, it's a scary place. Things go missing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just boats, but flights. Now, you've been on a boat, right? So
yes.
Have you ever been in Have you ever seen a rogue wave? They said a 100-foot wave can happen. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes, we do. Every time you go to Caribbean, especially if changing the weather, oh my goodness, the wave is so high. Yes. We are changing our weather from winter to spring to spring to summer, but the waves are more getting higher.
Really?
That's what I observed.
You were on like a big cruise ship, right? So
yes.
How many stories did the cruise take?
Usually we have 13 or 15. 13 or 14? 15 floors.
15? So, that's 150 feet. So they're saying a wave could be 2/3 of the height of the ship.
Yes. But usually if you are, we are doing all the cruise line, they divert. If they know this is the passage that where big waves occur every now and then, they divert to another direction. But sometimes, because you cannot predict the weather, just like come and go. Oh, yeah, we do experience that. He said, wow. Oh my goodness, it's the end of the world.
So then what,
everybody.
Panicking. I guess the boat's built to get waves hitting it, but do they come over onto the decks and knock the furniture off and everything?
They call this a balance. They stabilize when if the wave is already high, they produce something, a big balance wave or something inside the boat, inside the ship, which is stabilize the ship itself.
Oh, okay. So then they change the ballast of the ship so that you don't tip over. So that would be kind of wild. So I've only been on one cruise, and that was in Alaska, and we did not get that far away from the shore. Every time I looked out, I looked on, one side was open ocean, but then the other side was the shore, and you could see it. And so we never really went that far into the ocean. You know what I mean? I'm guessing, I know all the ships don't do that, but I think a lot of cruise ships don't go too far into the open ocean. A lot of them kind of hug the shoreline because they're going to, like in Alaska, you're going to different points in Alaska. And then I went to Vancouver. But I'm assuming the same thing happens down the Caribbean and so forth. They just go island to island or place to nice place.
Yes. Except for they are transmitting, Mr. Bob. You're going to North America to Caribbean, and that is open seas, which is, the weather is changing. For sure, the waves is getting higher.
So do you think that, I just read about that, but is there superstitions about being on the ocean for you because you've kind of had to do it for a while there? Or what is your thoughts on all this stuff?
I think the Bermuda Triangle, it's something that is something in there. I think because of the gravity itself, it's a part of the ocean where the gravity most is intact, which is comparing to other part of the ocean, it's normal, right? It's something part on that part where the gravity zone of the water is intact and more. That's why it's sucking all the things that it's bypassing or whatever. It's all the in the mind, but I think that's what I observe.
Okay. So you think that there's changes in, there's more gravity in the Bermuda Triangle than there maybe is in other places, and that's why ships are having problems. That's an interesting thought.
I think it is the matter of all the gravities in there. It's pulling everything.
Some people say that it's portals, right? So portals to another dimensions and so forth. Then they just happen to open up and the ship just goes right through and they're someplace else. They're not even anywhere in our dimension. People have said there's whirlpools where the water is spinning around and it sucks giant boats down into it. I don't know how that does with the planes, because the planes aren't on the water.
Yes, on the top. I think it's the gravity. It's pull.
But gravity that, could explain the plane situation a little bit.
Yes. Certainly.
I don't know. It's still, to me, it's still a mystery. And I know, even though it's been kind of partially debunked by some things there, there's still enough there that makes you wonder.
Yeah. You know?
Makes you wonder what's going on, because the other thing may be just because it's so close. It's not a long distance, right? So if you're going to go out across the Pacific Ocean, which is a huge ocean, you expect a few people to get lost because it's so vast.
So vast.
It's so big. But when you're just going between Florida and some islands, you would think that that would not, it's not that far, comparatively speaking, right? So you would think nothing would happen, but apparently it does. So it's weird. Now, I noticed, and I didn't realize this until I noticed it. So I went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we were flying to Hawaii from California. And I look out the window of the plane and I look down, just, you know, we're over the ocean for hours and going to Hawaii. And I looked down and there's a cruise ship and I could see it, right? It was really tiny, but I could see it. We're at 10,000 feet or whatever or more. Uh-huh. And there's a cruise ship. And it made me realize that planes and boats, they don't just fly randomly. They fly in a path to where they are. Because I saw more than one cruise ship on my flight there to Hawaii and back. That they travel on a path so that way they can help each other.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that before.
A certain path that they will not distract the gravity itself. Probably those people.
So the plane were to crash, then the cruise ship might come and save people.
Uh-huh.
So they're doing that on purpose in order to help in case there's problems, I guess. But I didn't even realize that. I just thought if I was in the ocean driving a boat, I'd just go all over the place.
There's a certain route. Yes, I think so.
I wouldn't follow a path. Well, so this one is a little up in the air as our conspiracy goes. And so you know, this one's not a hardened conspiracy. It was hardened back in the 70s. And since then, because of technology, it's become a bit less. But still a mystery nonetheless.
It's a portal getting to another dimension.
There you go. So now we'll call it the Bermuda Portal.
Thank God for conspiracy. We are naming it.
So Daniel, do you have something to plug?
Yes, please do visit our official website of our podcast, people, because Mr. Bob and I, we're doing 4 podcasts plus 1 next year. Who knows? So please do visit universalpodcast.net. It's official podcast for all, podcasts that we are creating.
You can catch them all there. I see that you've got a book one, you got a food one. You got motivation, science, culture, technology. Look at all these things. AI.
Oh, wait. AI 101 and tech.
Science. What did I say? Mental health.
Yes. What is
spiritual
else?
Awakening. That's if you're really sleepy, you can wake up your spiritual
awakening.
And
oh,
then
my goodness.
Motivation and entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I do a few of them. I do comedy, conspiracy trivia. Bible verses.
Bible verses, too.
Bible verses. Law. There you go.
Oh, 101.
What's the... Oh, love letters. What the heck?
Love letters. Oh, the collection of love letters. Usually weekly, we read letter from our senders asking for help. For what is love,
okay,
Daniel?
Cool. You should have me guest on that one.
Would you like to?
No, I don't think I would give horrible advice. If you want horrible advice, then yes, have me on.
How about love? Okay, Mr. Bob,
yeah,
please
I'll
do come
like,
over.
I'd be like, get rid of them. They're a horrible person. You don't need to have them.
Now, for sure, our listeners on Love Letters love you. For sure, you will advise them how to be more attractive, how to well create more lasting love affair.
Maybe I should be.
Listen, yes, listen. Please don't listen, people, wherever you listen your podcast. So how about you, Mr. Bob? Would you like to plug in something?
Oh, you can catch me here. You can catch me there. You can catch me just about anywhere, except in the Bermuda Triangle. I'm not going there.
Beware of the Bermuda Triangle. They will suck you and go to another portal of the universe. So, Mr. Bob, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Daniel, and everybody.
Yes, thank you for supporting us. 3 million views.
Be skeptical.
Morticon people, see you soon. What a Bermuda.